Well, hallelujah. Good to see everybody tonight. Some of you are shifting around, sitting in other places, throwing me a curve, but that's all right. I like it. Yeah, I know. I see you guys over there. That's what I'm talking about, man. I've got a full spectrum. Well, we're glad you're here with us tonight. Yeah? Awesome. Amen. Amen. Well, let's back up just a little bit and play catch up for a moment. Revelation chapter 3:20, chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." And again, I just want to just hit some high spots here, but Jesus knocks at the door of our heart because he wants to save us and have fellowship with us. Can I just tell you tonight that Jesus isn't knocking on your door just to see what you're doing? He already knows what you're doing, but listen, he longs to just be with his people. He longs to just come into where you're at, where I'm at, and just have fellowship with you. And it's an interesting thing that the Lord would want to be with us, don't you suppose? Especially knowing what he knows about us. And here's the other thing is that he allows us to decide whether or not we're going to open the door to him. Amen. Listen, I will open the door to him every day. Amen. I want to challenge you to do the same. God can do great things in a church even through one dedicated individual. Think what he can do with a church full of dedicated individuals. I'm convinced the longer I'm in ministry, the more I'm convinced that we just miss opportunities to allow the Lord to use us. And if you'll look and if you'll ask God to use you, he will. And it's been kind of fun. Well, no, it's been real fun for me. Having Mike back with me and Kathy as well. But Mike and I, when we're around one another, we're kind of inseparable almost. And we do everything together. We go places together. We work together. And the opportunities that we've had to be able to speak to people about the Lord. We had an interesting conversation today. We was walking down the street together, going to look at a little at a neighbor's place that had some work that she needed to have done, an elderly couple. And as we're walking down the road, this other elderly person was outside and he had a wood lathe set up in his driveway and was turning a piece of myrtle wood. And so that caught my attention and we went over and began talking to him and stuff. And the conversation went like this and we started talking about, you know, oh, he said something about, oh, he's moving or gonna, and he goes down to Arizona in the winter and stuff. And he said this was his final place that he was moving to. And I said, well, I said, I don't think I'm going to be moving anymore either. I said, I got probably one more move left in me. But the good news is when I move next time, I don't have to pack nothing. Amen. I was talking about the rapture. I said, I'm out of here in the rapture. And, of course, he didn't understand what I was talking about. And so that allowed the conversation to take off a little bit. He told us in no uncertain terms that we had crossed a line. We don't talk about politics and we don't talk about religion. And so we just carried on the conversation and visited with him. Anyway, we're not offended by that. Some people just don't want to hear about it. But I got news for you. We planted some seeds. And if we get an opportunity to go by and visit, he told us come by anytime, drink coffee and whatever and visit. And so we'll probably be back by there again and maybe the Lord will give us an opportunity to ask him some more questions. But So what if they don't want to hear about it? We're being obedient to the things that God wants us to do. When He knocks, He sometimes knocks through circumstances that He calls through His Word. And when He calls, and for what is it that He's appealing when He's knocking on the door? He wants fellowship and communion. The people's desire to abide in Him. I want the Lord with me everywhere I go. Everything I do, I want the Lord to be with me. Amen? I want to have that close fellowship. When we invite Him in, the supper room becomes the throne room. Amen? The supper room becomes the throne room, and it's through communion with Christ that we find victory and become overcomers. Listen, I want more than anything in my life to be, I want to be an overcomer. And I remember on Friday night when we met in here in our men's meeting, I'd had some bumps in my spiritual road, if I can say that, throughout the week, and was sharing with the men that I desperately want revival in the church, in my life, and in our city. And I said this. I said, sometimes I feel like, or I wonder, if I'm the one that is stopping the revival. Is it me that is holding back revival? And so, you know, when we are in His presence, He wants to work on us, and it's through this communion we find victory and overcome. It's because He's with us that we are overcomers. It's not because of any slick thing that we've done. It's the fact that He's still abiding with us. He's still walking with us. He's still guiding us. He's still directing our path. And the second thing I want for us to look at tonight is that God promises to overshadow His people with His glory. God promises to overshadow His people. That's us, folks, with His glory. And in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35, it says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Isn't that amazing? In one of the greatest manifestations of God's power in all of Scripture, God's glory came to the tabernacle and filled it. Listen, if you know anything about me, you know the one thing that I long for and that I desire more than anything at all is to see the Shekinah glory of God. The manifest presence of God. Fill, you know, in these rafters, in this place. I long for that. I can't wait. I believe God's going to give that to me one of these days. Amen? So in one of the greatest manifestations of God's power in all of Scripture, the glory of God came to the tabernacle and it filled it. And God responded to the completion of the tabernacle in this way. God covered and filled the tabernacle with His glorious and awesome presence with the cloud of His glory, according to Exodus 40 and verse 34. And the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Remember when the children of Israel were on the march. Amen. When they were coming back, and the pillar of cloud that God used to lead Israel through the wilderness and through their wanderings, it was the cloud of the glory of God. Amen. It was the cloud of God's glory, the Shekinah glory, the cloud that descended on the tabernacle. However, there's one difference in this event. A far greater display of God's glory descended on the tabernacle. But how do we know this? And I'll tell you why. It's because God was not able to enter the tabernacle. He couldn't go in that place. Remember at Mount Sinai. Remember when when the cloud of God's glory descended upon that in Exodus chapter 19. Remember Moses' tent that had been set up for worship when God's glory covered it. Moses was able to stand before God's glory in both of those cases. But not now. Not when God's glory filled the tabernacle. Let me take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verses 1 through 3. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. And the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that the mercies of God endure forever? Even when you're messing up, even when things are going crazy around you, the mercies and the mercy of God endures forever. Whether the sound system works right, whether the things are, we can't shut stuff, the mercy of God is still there. Amen. The king had been kneeling on this special platform near the altar. His hands had been lifted to God, but now he stands to give the people a blessing from the Lord. See, it was usually was the priests that blessed the people, but on a special occasion like this, the king could give the blessing as David did in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 18 and verse 20. And so here Solomon blessed the whole assembly and through them the entire nation, and he gave thanks to God for His great mercies. And so as Solomon reviews the history of the Jewish nation, his conclusion was that the promises of God had never failed, not even once. I promise you, folks, that's the truth tonight. The promises of God. God is a God that does not go back on His promises. He does not renege. He doesn't get halfway through your life and change His mind. I'm so glad that His yes is yes and His no is no. It doesn't, He's not wishy-washy. There's nothing wishy-washy about God. He is stable. He is established. In contrast, God's people often failed the Lord, but the Lord never failed them. How many times have you failed the Lord? Amen. Huh? How many times has He failed you? Not ever, not one time, never. Not one time. See, God promised Moses that He would give the nation rest, and He did, according to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. By His power, He enabled Joshua to overcome the nations in Canaan and claim the land for Israel's inheritance. He told them that was going to happen. He told them the reality is 40 years earlier they could have done the same thing. But they did not take steps of faith. They let their thinking get in the way. They let what they saw get in the way. They had forgot about the promise that God had given them the land. Listen, if God gives you something, it's yours. All you have to do is receive what it is that He's given you. And He gave them a land. Can you imagine packing a bundle of grapes on a stick between two men? Now let me tell you something. That's a batch of grapes right there. The land was flowing with milk and honey. It was an abundant land. And God said, "I'm giving you this land to possess." And they said, well, we're going to have to check it out. We're going to have to go in and see. And they came back out and they said, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua and Caleb said, listen, I remember what God said. God said He was giving us this land. Surely we can take this land. Surely this land is for us. And they voted them out. They shut them down. And so they spent 40 years wandering around out in the wilderness until all the naysayers died off. Then they came back and they took possession. Moses told the people that when they had entered into the promised rest, that God would give them a central sanctuary where they could offer their sacrifices and their worship to God. And now that temple has been provided. And in his farewell speech to the leaders, Joshua emphasized the same truth. Joshua also reminded them that the warnings would be fulfilled as well as the promises, and he cautioned them to obey the Lord in all things. Isn't it amazing that after they began the conquest of Canaan, greed and disobedience got in the way, and it cost them. Remember? Remember the story in Ai? Even when we're walking in the promises of God, sometimes we can get overcome with our desires and try and fulfill our desires, when if we would just let God fill our desires, everything else would just fall into place. So Solomon especially emphasized one promise that God gave the patriarchs and repeated it often in Jewish history, that the Lord would not leave His people, nor would He forsake them. That promise is still true today, folks. His promise is still that He will be with us. He will not forsake us. I don't know how many times in my own life I've battled with this idea that I've messed up too many times. I've been told that I've messed up too many times, and that the devil had my head mounted on his wall. But the problem is, I couldn't get away from this gnawing in my belly that I just recognized as the Holy Spirit telling me, listen, you need to repent. Thank you, Lord. So if I've been too bad, why would the Holy Spirit then convict me in my spirit that I needed to repent if there's no hope? See, God was with Abraham during his whole life. And He promised to be with Isaac. And He promised to be with Jacob. And He renewed this promise to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses repeated the same promise to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And the Lord Himself gave the same promise to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. And Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Some of my favorite verses of Scripture. Only be strong and of good courage. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord gave it to Gideon in Judges chapter 6. The prophet Samuel repeated it to the nation in 1 Samuel chapter 12. David encouraged Solomon with the same promise, and when he appointed him to build the temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. You seeing a common thread here? After the days of Solomon, the prophet Isaiah repeated this promise and gave comfort to the Jewish people who would experience the Babylonian captivity. You're going to be taken captive, but don't fear. God's never going to leave you. He will not forsake you. You'll feel sometimes forsaken. Anybody ever felt forsaken? I got news for you. You might feel that way, but it's not true. He said, I'll never leave you. The Lord uses it or used it rather in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8 and verse 19, chapter 20 and verse 11. He used it to encourage Jeremiah. And in fact, Jesus gave it to the disciples before he ascended to the Father in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. This is what he said. The church today can claim that promise just as the believers did long ago. And according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let me just tell you what it says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God's promise to us, church. It's His promise. It gives me great joy to know that in the days of old, the men of God could not go into the temple because of the presence of the Lord. But now, you are the temple. Now there's been a transition, and now we are the temple. And the Most High God lives and dwells inside of each one of us. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Ha ha! That ought to make you happy. It makes me happy. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost of God has chosen to reside in me. Isn't that amazing? Judy, He lives in you. Cindy, He lives in you. And He lives in Charles. Of all things. He's an equal housing God. God lives in you. I mean, the temple's expanding. It's a miracle of God. I love you, Dennis. I love that guy. See, He can't get any closer than in us. He can't get any closer than in us. The third thing, I'm not even going to get started on the third thing because the third thing will get me, I'll get carried away. Listen, this is what you can look forward to, all right? Because we're talking about God's blessings for true worshipers, right? Talking about worship and the fact that it's more than just singing and it's the offering, it's our life and all these. God's blessing for true worshipers also includes blessing His people with an abundance of blessings. With an abundance of blessing, especially with peace. Now we live in a time of turmoil that I'm not sure the world has ever really experienced. I mean, this side of the flood, I guess we could say. And if you read Scripture and you read the Bible and you look at the Word, it talks about the way the days are going to be before the Lord comes back. And the way I read Scripture, we ain't far off, folks. We are not far off. The Lord, His return, I mean, I'm not a date namer or anything like that, but I can, He said you can discern the skies, but you can't discern the coming of the Son of Man. Look at what's going on in our world. Compare it to what God says in His Word, and it won't be long until you'll be convinced that by golly, the Lord could very well come back. Hallelujah. Tonight. My, like George Yount said, my bags are packed and I'm ready to go. And I don't have to pack. Isn't that awesome? Listen, if that eastern sky splits and the Lord steps out and the trumpet of the Lord blasts, those dead people are going to beat us up there, but at least we're going to go. Amen. And even though they beat us, it ain't going to be like, well, come on, you guys, would you hurry up? It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. it is going to be in the twinkling of an eye. And we will all be changed. We will all be changed in a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be caught up in the clouds, the Bible says. And go be with Jesus. I don't know what blessings look like to you, but I'm surrounded by blessings. I'm one blessed little preacher. Man. I am. God has given me you people, and I am blessed. He's given me a good wife, a good church, a good bunch of kids, a good bunch of grandkids. And I tell you what, if He took me out tonight, I could say my life is well fulfilled. Amen? Amen? I believe that. Tammy, we've been blessed. We look back over our lives and we've been blessed. Abundantly blessed. And maybe one of these days Kathy needs to play the song, Count Your Many Blessings. We've forgotten how to do that. We have forgotten how to recognize how blessed as a people we are. And I know it's just a song, but the implication of the song is to count our many blessings. Can you even name your blessing? That's what the song says. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. I can. I don't know if I can count them, but I can sure name a pile of them. Amen. I can name them. I'm 63 years old, and I've got my health. I'm grateful for that. A lot of our classmates have gone on, passed away. The Lord has watched over me. He's watched over my family. He's watched over my children. He's allowed me to be a part of all of this. I hope we never forget what we walked into when we walked into this building. It was a mess. Just like most of our lives. And piece by piece, we cleaned the mess up. And it's become a house of worship. Just like you, the Lord piece by piece began cleaning you up. And me up, and we individually have become houses of worship. Amen. Tents of dwelling for the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Be thinking about how you've been blessed this next week. Take some inventory of how God has blessed you. And then begin to worship Him for what He's done in your life. Amen? Father, I thank You for tonight. There have been some trials in this place tonight, and You've brought us through them all. And Lord, I just pray right now here tonight for every person watching by way of the internet, for every person seated in this place right now, I pray, God, the peace of God that passes all understanding would flood our souls and our spirits and our minds. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over every life. God, there are those that need a healing touch in their bodies tonight, and we just submit them to You and say, God, touch them and heal them. There are those tonight, God, that need Your provision, the only way that You can provide. And so, Lord, I thank You for them, and I pray, God, You'd meet every need. God, I pray for miracles on Sunday. I pray for the Holy Spirit to just show up tomorrow morning in the women's Bible study. I pray, God, that your Holy Ghost and power would just saturate that time. I pray, God, for the Holy Ghost to show up on Friday night in our men's group, in our men's meeting for men only. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us and speak to us and teach us and encourage us and challenge us to be men of God. Lord, I pray as the men take off for the men's retreat, I pray, God, that it would be something of a mountaintop experience where we experience you, Lord. We're changed because we've set ourselves apart to be with other men, to build one another up and to encourage one another. And Lord, as we come back together on Sunday, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this place, God. I pray for Gene and his family as they go on their trip, Lord. I pray that you would watch over them, give them journey mercies, God. Prepare the ways before them, Lord. Bring them back to us, Lord, energized and excited about what you're going to do in their lives. And for that, my Lord, I give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for watching tonight by way of the internet. We'll see you on Sunday.